In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 13. Hear now the word of God. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word, for the love behind this assurance and promise, for the certainty that it represents in each of our lives. And Lord, that you speak it to us every day in those times when we need to hear it the most. Lord, open your word to us now, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and draw each person here today closer to your throne of grace, that we may fall more and more in love with you, serve you more fully, and follow you more completely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I want us to continue our summer reflections by asking one question. How do I find God? How do I find God's presence in my life? And so the verse I read this morning, and I love this because this seems to be kind of a sermon in progress. It's a sermon that I'm getting to live and that probably every single person here is getting to live to some degree or another. This thing, and you will seek me and find me. God's saying that every single person here today and online today, my guess is that in some way, in some area of your life, you need to hear this word. That it may be overall that you've wandered away from God, and so you need to, you feel like you need to come back. And how do you do that? It may be in a crisis. It may be something that you are facing right now and you need to find that God's hand is at work in that specific area. It may be whatever it might be. It's a message that each of us has. So think about it. Life often is exhausting. It often catches us off guard. It often comes at us one thing after another, and it's relentless. I've found that problems don't happen singularly. They happen in multitudes. So you'll have something, the car will blow up, and then a big bill will come due. Or you'll have somebody having to take somebody over to the urgent care, and the water heater will go out. Life comes at us one thing after the other. Not only that, it often leaves us frightened, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally drained. Maybe that's you right now. Or maybe right now everything's going fine with you, but you still feel far away from God. Your walk seems dry and stagnant. Or maybe there is a particular area in your life right now where you need God's special help and presence. Regardless, the question stands, I think, for everybody in some way. How do we go about finding God at such a time and in such cases? And I love our opening verse. And you will seek me and find me. God not only gives you that assurance, he also tells you exactly how to go about it. When you search for me with all your heart. Now, a lot of times people read that and they get flipped out. Like, okay, we've got to come to God absolutely perfect. We've got to have all of our ducks in a row. We can't come with any doubt or any inconsistency, or we've negated the contract and God doesn't have to be there for us. Okay, that's not what that means. Okay, God did not send Jesus to die on the cross for you because you could pull it together. He sent it because you can't pull it together. Okay? What that means is this, that when we're coming to God on his terms. We aren't going to God on a contract negotiation. We aren't telling him what we're willing, what kind of God he needs to be, how we're willing and what we're willing to do. We come and say, I've blown it. I need your help. We're in over our heads. You be you and please save me. And we're coming to God as he is, not God like we want him to be, not God like we think he should be, but we come to God as God says he is, as God reveals himself. And we come to him and he says, when we just come to him naked and with nothing,
and say, help. When you seek me, I will always, always be there. So, the question is, how do we go about? That's kind of the answer right there. But let's delve into it a little bit more. How do we go about finding God? And as we listen to Scripture, verses like this, examples that we see throughout Scripture, the first thing that we find that we need when we're trying to find God in our life is, in trying to find His presence at work in our life, is the right instrument, is the right assessment. So think about it. Let me give you an illustration. If we want to know the length of a table, we don't grab a measuring cup. If we need a pint of milk for a recipe, we don't reach for a ruler. Instead, we use a specific measure that will give us the information that we need. And the same sort of thing holds true for our walk with God. And that's why our feelings and our situations and our human assessments are all really important. We're not poo-pooing that, right? God gave you, God created all of those things. The object is not to walk through life like nothing matters. It's not to go through life pretending that you're not freaked out when you're freaked out. It's not going through life and trying hard not to be freaked out when you really kind of should kind of start being freaked out, you know? Sometimes the enemy does surround the walls. Sometimes we've made a mess and we can't get out of it, okay? It's not that. We aren't going through life like nothing matters. Instead, like our thoughts, like our actions, like everything, the object is faithfulness. And the first things that our feelings, we're going to see this throughout, the first thing that our feelings do when we're afraid, the wrong response is panic. The right response, what's that feeling telling you? Turn to God. Overwhelmed. It's not despair and running out and grabbing pills in a bottle and trying to seek the world's escape. Because you'll wake up from the stupor and you'll have four more problems. And the other problem will still be there. Okay? What's our anxiety? What's it telling us? Turn to God. What does God say? Whenever you turn to me, I will be there. Okay? So while our feelings, we need the right instrument. And while our feelings and our assessments and the situations that we face are very real, we're not trying to pretend like they're not. They are not the ultimate deciding factor. They're not the final meter reading that we need. They're not the tool that we're reaching for to determine the reality of the situations that we're in. They're important. They tell us things. Most of the time, they're telling us to turn to God. Okay? While they're important, they're not the ultimate deciding factor in any area of life. Listen to 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, time out. Notice what your Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say it in my Bible. It doesn't say if your heart wrongly condemns you. Like you're one of these people that has, you know, an overactive conscience and, you know, something can happen and you're the first one, oh my gosh, is that my fault? I feel so terrible. Is that my fault? Oh no. It's not what it's talking about. Okay, every week we come to church and we're reminded that you and me and the rest of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We've sinned. Okay, we deserve sin and death, and we cannot fix ourselves. We know that. Every week we come confessing our sins. We've performed poorly. We've handled situations badly. We've made a mess of things. Okay, but John says, even when our heart is correct, because, you know, to be honest, there are things and there are times when we've done things knowingly and egregiously that we need to be ashamed of ourselves. Okay, we should feel bad about ourselves. We should look and say, I should not keep wanting to still be doing this. Okay, John says that's fine. As true as all that is, it's not the final word about you. It's not the final measure. Instead, listen to what John says. He says, "If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts." Now listen to John. John knows you. He knows what you're thinking. You're looking for the loophole. And he knows all things. Okay? It's not that God hasn't found out how you've messed up. He knows it better than you do. It's not that God's not aware of the situation that you're in and how serious it is and the real timelines that you're facing. He knows it better than you do. And all of those things are telling you what? Turn to the one that's greater. Right? Have the right instrument. What's the right instrument? God is greater. That's why Corinthians puts it like this.
2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, what Paul is telling us is not that we are to try to close our eyes and stop up our ears and go through life without using the things that God has given us. That's not what Paul said. But when Paul says walk by, he's meaning choose the direction, choose the rate, choose where you're going. Make all of those things make what God says, because God knows more than you do. He knows everything. He knows the exactness of the situation. He knows what's going on. And so we go on what he says, on the things that please him. Okay? Well, God hasn't told me how he's working out my situation. Well, I know how he's told you that he's not working out your situation. You're short on the mortgage, and so he's not telling you to go stick up a convenience store. You know that. So if you don't know what to do, make sure the next thing you do is the right sort of thing. Okay? Because eventually you will find God on the path where he has prescribed you to walk. Right? Walk by faith, not by sight. Well, notice what this means. How do we go about finding God? How do we know that we've actually found him? Well, it's not how I feel. It's not that the situations all of a sudden magically get healed. How do I know for certain that I have found God? And the way that I know for certain is because God promises that when I draw close to him in his word, in his house, at his table, and in prayer, that, now listen to me, this is the big point, maybe the biggest point of the sermon. When I draw close to God in the ways, see, coming to God on his terms, going to those places to find God that he has told you, that he has established and ordained for him to be found by you. His word, he breathed it out by his Holy Spirit. Okay? His grace right now is writing that word in your heart. Okay? When you open your Bible and you go to have a quiet time or read scripture, God promises you he is already there. Okay? His house, where two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. Okay? God has told you, you don't have to come looking, he's here. Okay? The Lord's table is a real time of fellowship at the heart of a real relationship. It's the table of the covenant. Christ's spiritual presence is real. His grace is real. It's a time where he draws you to love up on you, to assure you that he's with you, and to assure you that his grace is at work in the details of your life, in prayer, whenever the righteous cry, the Lord hears. Whenever one of his children, not the together people, but those who are the righteous, those who know that we're messed up and we need Jesus. Okay? When we go to God on his terms, where he's called us to go, this is the point. He assures you that he is always, every single time, always there. Okay? Every time. So, now, sometimes you come to church and the sermon man, you know, probably I'm on vacation, and the sermon's just hopping and it just speaks to you. Okay? And the Lord just ministers to you. You needed to be here. Sometimes you have a quiet time and it's just glow in the dark. Then was it sweet to be in the presence of the Lord? And other times you come to church or you're having a quiet time and it's really, really hard. You don't understand what's going on. It's hard. It's not speaking to you, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Here's what I can tell you. Every single quiet time, every single church service, every single prayer, God meets you. He is there. And so while God sometimes gives water immediately to the thirsty traveler, you and me, there are other times that he's giving you provisions for the road ahead. So regardless, you know that God's here. You know, thank you, Lord, for being here when I open my Bible and study it. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. And because you know he's here, it's worth your effort to be fully attentive. You don't know if he's going to bless you for today or if he's giving you provisions for tomorrow, but he's here, and therefore you be engaged. Okay? How do we know that we found God? Simply put, How do I know that I have found God? I know because God says that I have found Him. And even when our hearts condemn us, our feelings are different, our situations are freaking us out, we're in over our head, God is greater than all of that. And He says, you found me. Okay? All right. This is important. And really, our study should have started with this underlying principle. Okay? It should have started here. During this week, what I'm about to say, it went to the footnotes, then it went to the top of the page, then it went back to the footnotes, and now here it is again. Because I think it's a big deal. And it's going to be the second most important thing I tell you right now. Okay? Our study really should have started with this underlying principle. Scripture assures you, listen to me, that your search for God is never a lonely or solitary quest. In other words, what I mean is it's not you and me trying to reach for God or discover or find Him on our own. Instead, the Bible tells us, listen to me, that God always takes initiative. God always goes first. God always moves first. He always takes the initiative with you. Therefore, listen to me. Here's the point. This is important. Therefore, your desire for God, your unrest apart from Him, your urgency that you want Him to draw near and be a part in the midst of whatever crisis you're walking through, whatever mess you've made, your desire for God and your unrest apart from Him are sure and certain signs. They're sure and certain indicators that God is already at work drawing you to Him. You hear me? We're not waiting for God. We're really kind of just waiting for you to turn around and realize that God's been there the whole time. Do you hear that thing? Draw near to me. And James says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He's showing it to you from your point. But behind what James is saying throughout the epistle of James and the rest of Scripture is this, that dead men do not cry out. Okay? Rebels do not seek peace. All right? Those who are rebellious and broken, your broken nature is trying to hide from God. It's not trying to find Him. The fact that you have something in you going, I need to get close to the Lord. I need the Lord in my life, is a sign that God is already there, pursuing you, drawing you close to Him. It's a sign that you're not alone. You're not hoping to find God. God's just waiting for you to turn around. Listen to John. And this is love. Not that we loved God. Not that we went looking for God. Not that we decided to clean up our lives and get good and then go see if God likes us. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Now listen to me. Here's the initiative. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you hear that? God, you didn't go looking for God. God took the initiative and came for you. And what's true with the origin of our salvation is true at every step. We never pray alone. We never read our Bibles alone. You're not here because you just decided it was convenient for you to be at church. Okay? God always takes the initiative. And that's true in your life. Bottom line, our desire to be close to God is a concrete sign, indicator, that God is already drawn close to us. So how do I know that I've found God? How do I know that's right? I know because He says I've found Him. So that's all good. So what next, right? That sounds good, but what is finding God supposed to look like? Because you know what? I've done all that, and right now things really, really stink. You know what? I found God, but what's it supposed to do for me? What's it supposed to look like? How do I know that I'm actually on the right path, that I didn't mess up? Well, first of all, it's important to understand that finding God might not be at all what you expect. Right? Because a lot of times, you will go to God, and you'll go, I'm going to get serious, and I'm going to go to God,
and you know, I'm taking this because here's all the things I'm facing, and I need this resolved, I need these things done, and I'm going to go to God, and I'm pretty sure by Tuesday He'll have done all of this. Okay? And in the South, we say, bless your heart. Because you're going to find God, but it's probably going to be a rough few weeks. Okay? Because God's God and you're not. Right? And you don't take God your punch list. He brings you His will. Thy will be done. Okay? So sometimes finding God might not be at all what you expect. And that's the problem when we're going on our feelings or the situations or our assessments of things. Those are not the final deciding factor. And a lot of times finding God is not going to be at all what you expect. God may be doing something completely different in your life than either you thought He was going to do or that you wanted Him to do. Right? One of the worst things that could possibly happen is that God gives you your way. Okay, listen to this. There's a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Okay, now listen, I want you just to be honest with me. 90% of the scars that you've accumulated in your life, however long it is, 90% of scars, not all of them, hear me, hear, not all of them, okay, because bad people do bad things. Okay, so I'm not saying, oh, you know what, something bad happened to you, it's the victim's fault. That's not at all what I'm saying. Okay, there's those 10%. But what I'm hedging on is that the vast majority of the scars that you bring with you this morning that you've accumulated over your life is because you did things your way, because you insisted on what you wanted, because the party was fun, because the desires and the things that sparkled looked good. Okay, because it felt good, because it's what you wanted, because you were career-minded, whatever it might be. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. And 90% of the scars that you bear in your heart today are bearing that out. But listen to the contrast. I know the plans that I have for you. Okay, God's God, you're not. I have for you. But notice what God's saying. He's not just reacting to you. You go, what? Who? Oh, okay. So what's going on? Tell me a little bit about it. Let's see if we can't. I think I've got something open on Tuesday. We can slip you in. Okay. Listen, God has a plan for each of you. Parents with these beautiful children all sitting here. Okay. Almost as cute as I was as a child. Anyway, just kidding. Actually not. But anyway, because I was adorable then, still now. But anyway, no. God has a plan for each of these children. They are precious in His sight. God has a plan for you. And listen to what God says about His plan for you, for your children, for your family. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity. There's a way that seems right to you and it leads to death. God's saying, yeah, my plan's not at all like that. It's a plan for your welfare. Okay? And plans to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you is God gives you what you want. Okay, he lets you have a little taste of your willfulness. See how that goes for you. It's not always going to look like what you expect. However, if finding God does not look like what we want it to or what we expect, what does it actually look like then? Okay, what can we always count on? What's the baseline? Okay, the first thing is that finding God provides an underlying peace. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about things that go and come. I'm talking about an underlying peace that is more rugged than the situations that you face, that is there when you're flipped out, that's balancing your anxiety, that's also prompting you in the midst of an impossible situation to turn to the one who nothing's impossible to. That's what I'm talking about. God will always respond with an underlying peace, assurance, and confidence that you and your situation are in His hands and He does not ever let go. Listen, be anxious for nothing. Now, Paul's not telling you to go through life and pretend like you're not freaked out, because you know what? You're going to be freaked out. Okay? But what Paul's saying is that we're not letting our decisions be made on being freaked out. Okay? We're not taking out our bad day on other people. We're trying not to.
You'll perform poorly. I perform poorly. Okay? We are not panicking or in denial, and so we're making terrible decisions. What is your anxiety telling you? Pretend like you don't have anxiety. Pretend like you're not upset. That's not what it's telling you. It's telling you the first thing you need is back to God. And that's exactly what Paul says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice what Paul's not saying. Dear Lord, thank you so much that my house is, I'm about to default on my mortgage. Thank you so much that I'm in a terrible situation. Thank you so much that I just lost my job. Thank you so much I'm having these medical conditions. That's not what God's saying. Thank you, Lord, that this and me and everything else involved, it is in your hands. Thank you that you are Lord here. That's what you're doing. Thank you that you're Lord here. Okay, and listen, here's the point I want you to hear. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, all feelings, all circumstances, all anxiety, the peace of God which surpasses all of that, dependent on none of it, shall guard your hearts and minds, the way you're feeling, how you're thinking. It's that quiet voice saying, stop panicking, don't make bad decisions, and stop yelling at people. It's not their fault. You're afraid, back to me. Finding God will yield signs and indicators, and we're going to end here, indicators that His hand is sustaining you and His providence is directly at work in your situations. I call these signposts and road marks along the way. Okay, and so this is not all about an inside matter. The point of the gospel is not making you feel better about a terrible situation. The point isn't to make you feel okay, it's to make you well. The point isn't to give you a peace that passes and so we can just bear and go through life like none of it matters. It's to deliver you. Sometimes it's immediate, sometimes God walks with you through it. And sometimes God calls you from the midst of it. Not sometimes, it'll be months for each of us. Okay, unless you're Lazarus, and then it was false. But anyway, sometimes God calls us home. Okay, but the point is not just our feelings. And so as long as we're panicked and freaked out and thinking it's in despair, we're facing away from God. But the minute we turn and say, I want you in my life, I need you right here in this thing, here, and then all of a sudden you'll begin to see signposts. Little indicators, okay? Not things that are making it magically disappear. Not the quick fix, okay? But signposts that you just happen to get the agent on the phone that you needed to talk to that was competent, the one competent person at the company, and they got you straightened out. An indication that, no, God didn't. You didn't win the lottery. You're not on Easy Street. But all of a sudden, there was an escrow check or something you weren't expecting, and now all of a sudden you have exactly or very close to what you need. Okay? There are going to be times when you're going to go through rough things, and you'll get a phone call, and for 30 minutes you're laughing and talking to a friend, and there's that moment of sunshine that lets you catch your breath. Those are not happenstance. They're signposts. They're indicators that God has it in His hands. Don't discount them. Don't ignore them. They are what they claim to be. That God has them in His, has this and has you in His hands. So God will give you those signposts. How do we know that we found God? We know because God tells us to. We never search alone. And whenever we come to His house, His word, His prayer, His table, whenever we come to where He promises He will be, He is always there waiting for us. And that call, that prompt, that realization that you need God, that's a sign that God's already there, already waiting for you just to turn around. And He's all yours. What do you do if you need God? Just ask. That's it. Amen?
Amen.